All right, check, check, check. Okay, not too loud. A little background sound shouldn't be too bad. We're in a park.
Yay!
We did a long recording last weekend, but after, like, thinking about it, just decided basically not to use any of it. Yeah. It's like I do this a lot. I make a lot of recordings and just toss them out, but I wanted to, we were having a very spirited discussion earlier today. I don't mean we were arguing, I mean it was spirited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to run through it and see if we could replay a little of the thinking behind that. And I'm using as a jumping off point a conversation that I had on the shitter. Mm. I don't mean on the toilet.
No.
I mean XITTER,
the
new X Twitter, which I just call the shitter.
Yay.
So I had posted a post, I guess is calling it, which this you can just, there's so much evidence that this wasn't thought through very well, right, to what the branding was going to read like. I suggest that folks leave the mRNA vaccines behind and go forward with Novavax for future boosters.
Yes.
Grace is getting in closer to me because she's being menaced by a bee.
And yeah,
I don't mean to laugh. I know you're allergic. Hopefully,
and I have my.
You have your EpiPen with you.
Yep.
It's. They seem to know.
They know.
Like they don't usually come for me.
But now it's like, hey,
but
you.
They come for you. It may be because you're wearing a dress that's covered with flowers.
Maybe so. And some of them are semi-realistic.
Yeah. Well, to a bee, it doesn't take much.
Nope.
But yeah, I don't, if you get stung, we'll quickly stop this podcast.
It'll be the event of a stinging. Yes.
Yes.
But this tweet.
I get stung occasionally. I don't have that reaction. It's unfortunate. You've become sensitized to possibly a dangerous degree.
Yeah, it's always been there. I'm not actually available for you, Mr. B.
You cannot pollinate me.
Hey, how about this? You know, he seems to like.
Oh, he wants your soda. It's a yellow jacket. They go after sugar. Why don't you just? Yeah, you're setting that over there. Why don't you just crawl down, right down that straw, and dig in?
Dig in. Have all you want, friend. It's for you.
Yeah,
enjoy.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'll put it in the trash when we're done. But just now, it's when I'm away.
Malachi got. A couple weeks ago, Malachi, we think, got stung on the lip while he was actually asleep.
See, I'm not down with that theory, but go on.
Well, the best theory I could come up with, and I did see a tiny little spot that looked like a bee sting.
Okay.
Was that he got stung by it. Like, he may have rolled onto it or touched it or
something. Some kind of stinging insect in the house.
And was right on his lip, and he looked like Homer Simpson.
He did. It was really comical. He didn't seem to be in any pain or any trouble.
Yes.
And went away with Benadryl.
We watched him closely. You actually called, had a televisit with a practitioner who suggested, helped you figure out a good dose of Benadryl for him.
Yes.
And we kept an eye on him. He didn't ever have any agitation or trouble breathing or any of the signs of severe anaphylaxis. But,
right.
But it was comical.
Absolutely comical. Walking around for a day looking like one of the Simpsons.
Yes.
Yes. And kind of horrifying that he wakes up and looks at you and he's like, what? What's happened to your face? You look like a Simpson.
Yeah.
Wait, do I look like a Simpson? Is this an alternate reality?
We're all Simpsons. We woke up, we all look like realistic Simpsons.
Yeah, wild, but here we are.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, as a jumping off point, I wanted to start with this tweet and talk about soft minimizers.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you would call them, they would call themselves like vaccine realists.
Oh, realists.
Or COVID realists.
COVID realists.
Or centrists.
As
opposed to people who are novid, who are deemed to be, you know, extremists.
I think of those, and I consider myself to be a zero-COVID extremist.
Zero-COVID extremist.
Well, that's how I would self-describe.
Wear it as a badge of honor because they're using it as a badge of ridicule, you know.
Of which I'm aware. But yes, I think that's actually an accurate assessment that I am a zero COVID extremist. Yes.
I would certainly say that I am a hardcore minimizer, in that I want to minimize the actual risks of the disease. Not minimize people's legitimate concerns about the disease.
Right. Okay. A COVID minimalist.
So I'm going to try to be neutral. I'm going to refer to the person that I got in this debate with.
Yes.
As my interlocutor.
Certainly.
I'm not going to give his shitter handle.
You know that's covered with the disease, but go on.
Jon Snow replaced the handle, or took away the toilet handle, and suddenly all the COVID went away.
Wow.
People could no longer jeet, and then suddenly
it just went away. It was a miracle.
Exactly. So he asked, why? And I'm at this point asking myself, why do I get into this? But, right. But at the same time, I'm like, well, let me take the step of initially assuming that this is somehow a good faith question, which it very likely isn't, I know.
But yeah.
And I did a quick skim of this guy's, profile and page, and he's not a 3-follower, brand new, popped out of nowhere, bot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a MAGA, and he didn't seem to be, he's not a blue check.
Yeah.
So, and I said, many reasons, neither Novavax or the mRNA vaccines are, quote, sterilizing, unquote. They don't stop transmission or prevent long COVID. But there is some evidence accumulating that Novavax is more robust against the variants we've seen to date and may help some people with long COVID. And then his response. Mm-hmm. I say his.
Your interlocutor's response.
My interlocutor's response. I'm not certain that this is a...
I think this is the case for singular they.
They. I hate using that, but...
Yeah, I know.
I'll try to use it.
Bro.
Oh, he's back.
It's right over there. It's literally over there.
I'm so sorry.
Go to the park, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Go. Here we are.
Enjoy nature. Nature trying to kill me.
Yeah.
He said, well, they don't stop transmission if you define stopping as exclusively stopping 100% of the time. But it's far too early to draw broad conclusions about whether Novavax is more likely to be robust against future variants and long COVID. Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
First of all, I'm sorry. Why don't you get on this side of me and...
We'll try this way.
We'll try this way. Well, now he's landing on me. Oh, come on, dude. Why are you this way? I'm talking to a yellow jacket.
Yep. Are you really going to fuck this
up
for us?
Why is he so aggressive?
I guess, maybe, does he have a hive here?
No, I don't think so. If he was a hive, he'd be flying into it.
You'd think.
Sitting on his hive?
I don't think we are.
We don't see any others or hear any others.
No, but yeah, actually I do see a hole in the ground, but it looks larger. It's like for a chipmunk, not for a bee.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't see others.
Yeah, yellow jackets live in the ground usually, don't they?
They do. Well, maybe this is his jam.
Okay, but he should just go in his home.
Go in your home. You
go
live
in your home.
Go in your home.
Okay.
This is not your home.
My face is not your home.
No. So he wants to know why. And he says, what about stopping?
If you define stopping as exclusively stopping 100% of the time. And I didn't say this, but I'm like, what are we down to now? Like, it's hard to get good numbers anymore. But, one moment. Okay. What are we down to now? 30% reduction in transmission?
Oh, it's very low for the mRNA vaccine. I want to say it's... I'm sure someone can find a document somewhere that says something different. I think it's 25%.
Yeah, it's...
It's like the thing they were talking about when the vaccines were released, about how it has 95% efficacy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That efficacy is actually, at this point in time, around 25% efficacy. Yeah.
So it's not a matter of 95 versus perfect or versus 100. I would not expect any single pharmaceutical vaccine to be 100% at anything, honestly.
Right, 100%.
Even like the really good vaccines.
Right.
But so
there are individuals for whom it's not 100%. Right. But so, that exists.
So this first argument that, you know, well, sure, if you're expecting it to be perfect, I'm like, no, I just expect it to be better than nothing.
Better than nothing, right.
Right, and it's barely better than nothing.
It's barely better than nothing. Well, because I think a lot of people aren't aware, we have a lot of vaccines. We have a cholera vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We have a tuberculosis vaccine.
Yeah.
You haven't heard of it, and we don't use it because they're 10 to 25% effective.
Yeah.
And it's barely
they're
worth the financial effort.
They're only useful on a big population to slow an outbreak, right?
Yes.
Or,
except that for cholera and tuberculosis both,
yeah,
it is more effective. So in other words, let's say you have a limited pool of money,
right,
to spend on an intervention.
It's not going
to
be your most cost-effective.
It's not the most cost-effective intervention to get 100% vaccination with a 10 or 25% effective vaccine.
Yeah.
It's far more effective for tuberculosis to get everybody in elastomeric masks.
Yes.
It's far more effective for cholera to have
clean water.
Right? Right, basically to have sewage sanitation.
Yeah, right. You keep your septic away from your drinking water.
From your drinking water. That's the, so if you have a limited funds,
that's where
you
want
to put the money,
money.
Not on a low effectiveness vaccine.
Yeah. So anyway, already I think he's like getting into an annoying type of arguing where he's not...
Like, well, vaccines aren't perfect,
this is
but...
a bit of a straw man. It's not like a full-on straw man, but it's leading that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue the discussion. I'm not a virologist, but what I've read suggests that it already... I'm talking about the second point, right? It already has maintained effectiveness against variants to date better than the mRNA vaccines. And you know what? I'm not actually maintaining a list of my sources like I probably should, I don't feel that it's... I'm not one of these actual experts who has a Twitter account and who posts the papers all the time.
Right.
I read as many papers as I can, and I follow some smart people. My criterion is basically I'm looking for people who actually have some credibility in their field and who seem to be fundamentally oriented towards the precautionary principle.
Yes.
As opposed to, say, a Bob Wachter who literally is dying of COVID and continues to do his mental math and calculate that actually it's fine for him to go unmasked into a restaurant.
Yes, right, not
or
a problem.
Conference.
Nothing to be concerned about.
Or a workplace.
Risk is low.
And he literally... like, while sick with COVID, literally fell and hit his head hard enough to require hospitalization.
Yes.
And his conclusion from this was, wow, hot showers are dangerous. I, you know, set a rush of blood to my extremities and,
And
that was the real...
That's the real danger.
Takeaway.
Here.
Right.
What are those Not hot that, showers?
This is just, I mean, did you fall... because of COVID or with COVID? Like, it's just so dumb. I can't believe it. He's back on here after this infection, justifying how he can give grand rounds and see patients go around in his institution unmasked because according to his...
I don't know if I've given
his calculation. Yeah, he literally he hopes he hasn't spread it. Right? Like,
but
I'm sorry.
No idea.
I need you to do a little better as a professor, as a infectious disease expert, as this and that and the other thing, as a role model, as a senior leadership in a hospital setting in the university, I need you to do a little bit better than hope and prayers.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway.
That's pretty bad. But yes.
I said, anecdotally, it has improved my long COVID symptoms. But yes, I will be watching with interest as more studies arrive.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about that is we've had the vaccines actually rolled out in late 2020, right? The mRNA vaccines and J&J.
I held out till March, April 2021 to get my first shots because I actually didn't want to be a line jumper.
Oh,
I
right.
wanted to make sure that all the people who were higher risk factors than I had higher risk factors than I did mm-hmm. got theirs early.
First. Right, yes, fair, totally fair. But they've been in existence. They've been around since November of 2020.
Yes.
So we're coming up on 3 years.
Yes.
There's a lot of data.
There is a lot of data.
Novavax was actually introduced, I believe, a little over a year ago. We have a year of data in comparison.
Right.
And the
right.
original Novavax,
right.
much like the original mRNAs,
was not
were
better.
Targeted for the same group of viruses, right?
Right.
And Novavax is a subunit, a protein subunit vaccine versus
mRNA.
An mRNA vaccine.
Yeah.
And what we've actually seen is that as variants diverge from the original thing, the mRNA vaccine
drops off faster.
Drops off really quick with
the antibody effectiveness.
Right.
Drops off
really quick.
Yes.
J&J was not mRNA and targeted T cells.
Yeah.
And we also noticed very significant improvements in durability in the J&J vaccine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Over mRNA vaccines.
Right. Oh, I don't have as many. You spend more time reading papers on this than I do.
Right.
I don't have all these papers at my fingertips.
No.
But I can point to some people's feeds, you know. But it's, again, this isn't really my job.
Well, it's not really your job.
Right.
But I think the other bit of information, though, or the main point I'm making is there's lots of data.
There's
That's actually
lots of data.
What he's saying is fundamentally untrue. It's not true.
Yeah.
There's lots of data, and we do know because while Novavax is been available in this population, Sobrana 2 was available in late 2021, early 2022.
Yeah.
You have close to 2 years of data, and Sobrana 2 and Novavax are not the same vaccine, but it's the same kind of technology.
Which one is this?
Sobrana 2 is Cuba's vaccine.
That's Cuba, okay.
And they're vaccinating everyone 2 and up.
Yeah.
A full vaccination series, similar to Novavax vaccination.
Yeah.
And boosters, as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've seen is far greater durability. That people's vaccines from early 2022, late 2021 with Sobrana
mm-hmm.
are demonstrating higher effectiveness against current variants now
compared
to mRNA vaccines.
And I think they've had better results as far as transmission.
As far as transmission, blocking transmission.
Yeah.
And so in other words, they've reduced severity of disease by blocking transmission broadly.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear. The other thing that Cuba's done is they... Right now, August of 2023, you are still required to mask indoors and out in Cuba.
Yes.
Tourists and regulars alike. Enforcement is a good question.
Yeah.
But that's what
required.
The rule is.
So we'll get to that because that's another topic that we went into. But
yeah.
I continued. I said some of my bias against the mRNA vaccines is not so much that they aren't useful, because I do believe that they were useful, but the degree to which they were over promoted beyond what was reasonable to expect. With Delta, we were initially told breakthrough infections were rare and contrary voices were dismissed.
Oh, and that people who were vaccinated didn't even need to mask.
Yeah, that there was maybe a 10% breakthrough rate. And it turned out to be more like, I don't know, 70% or something.
70 plus.
And it got worse. And
yep.
we were tracking this over the course of 2021. We had a whole long series of podcasts about
mm-hmm.
Delta. The data was out there, the articles were out there, the explainers were out there.
It was out there.
Like if you don't read Nature, papers in Nature or whatever, but you can read, you know, a targeted science article or interview that's targeted at a slightly more general audience.
Yes.
Right? That's information that's out there.
It was there.
I said, much of the establishment continues to push the line that we have the tools when they really mean the mRNA vaccines and Paxlovid and nothing else.
Yes.
The results have been disastrous, and then in brackets, he says, looking at the summer surge and widespread long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And my interlocutor said, isn't that really just the classic argument between the perfect and the good? Again, nearly a straw man.
Yeah.
Because I never set up that we have to do perfect.
No.
So what were the other vaccines developed that were demonstrated to perform better? Nobody was stopping anyone from developing them just because mRNA vaccines existed. And I'm going to pause there and say, this is exactly what happens with first past the post winners and losers, right?
Yes.
Where the government literally picks winners and losers.
Yes.
And it's not some kind of deep, dark conspiracy to look at who donates the most money to campaigns.
And then who gets...
And Pfizer is one of the biggest.
Yes.
One of the biggest pharma contributors. And then who winds up with the approval...
The contract approvals.
Contracts and the guaranteed purchases, you know.
Yes.
We can do single payer. It's just we only are willing to do single payer to the people that bribe the government the most.
We'll do single payer for them.
Right. So, who was doing other ones? Well, we've discussed several.
Yes.
Right. But, like, here in Michigan, which is a Pfizer state.
Oh, yeah.
They manufacture here.
Yep.
Unless, they may have moved everything to some place marginally cheaper now, but
there's a Pfizer plant in Ann Arbor, and they shut down and fired, I gave early retirement to a lot of people.
Yeah.
20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of that infrastructure is still here, and they still have, like, tentacles in the community.
Right. So there's, you know, so this means it's very hard to get, and I will never forget, like, arranging an appointment to get J&J, being told over the phone that this place had J&J, and then showing up, like, it wasn't Christmas Eve, but it was, like, 2 days before Christmas or something.
Really close to Christmas
break. Like, I wanted to get a booster before Christmas break. 2021,
late 2021,
and showing up and being told, "Oh no, we don't have that.
We don't have J&J.
Like,
we don't have J&J.
I just confirmed this over the phone that you had this in stock and I could get a J&J booster because I wanted. There was evidence even in 2021 that a mix and match booster strategy
was more
showed
effective.
Some additional effectiveness.
Yes,
and I wanted to try that. Because I had already lost some confidence in the mRNA vaccines. Not that I had great confidence, but I was looking for whatever tool was available, right?
Right.
Then he said, my interlocutor, we should never just assume that any particular level of efficacy is obtainable. Again, trivially true, right? Cancers have been studied for over 100 years and not a single real cure has been found. Well, that is somewhat debatable. People do go into complete remission and live the rest of their lives. But yes, it's a crapshoot with cancer. And it's all a matter of percentages. And many times, my own mother, you know, you think that your treatment was successful.
And it
then,
was not.
You get a year. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you're like, oh shit, it's now everywhere.
Right.
Because we did poor follow-up, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that he chooses cancer and a cure for cancer.
Right.
When actually what we've discovered over the last 100 years is that a lot of cancer is environmental and epigenetic.
Cancer prevention has a big role, but people don't want to...
But want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it.
Because it's much easier to sell a cure than it is to stop practices that affect epigenetics and bring about cancers.
Right. And yes, there are huge... roles that environmental exposure and epigenetics and plus, you know, lifestyle, right? But not as lifestyle, maybe not as you know, everyone wants to blame it on, oh, well, it was your fault for eating pizza, or, you know, you ate you know, food with nitrates in it, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
sucks to be you. You should have made better choices.
You should have had you know, grilled salmon and the Mediterranean diet instead of that pepperoni pizza. It's like, well, maybe you can afford the fucking grilled salmon.
Mediterranean diet.
So...
On and on. Right.
So, anyway, I wrote back, it always seemed unlikely, and I mean unlikely to me, right, that we'd get a first vaccine against a coronavirus that was effective as, say, the current measles vaccine. If you look a little bit, I'm not a virologist, but you look into it a little bit and you're like, wow, this is just how coronaviruses behave. It's one of their fundamental characteristics is they mutate constantly.
Yes.
All they can mutate almost in every single transmission.
Yes.
You know, sometimes within a single host over and over again. And,
yes.
And they can do recombination too.
Yes.
Where they can share mutations with each other. They have all these tricks.
Yes.
It's remarkable. Knowing this, it's like, well, so when you say the common cold, there's a number of viruses. Some of them are coronaviruses.
Yeah.
And the fact that some of them are coronaviruses is one of the reasons that we've never had any success developing a useful vaccine against the common cold.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really not
right.
not something that we've been able to do in the past. And there's actually no reason to believe that suddenly, at this moment,
right.
we did.
Right. So, but, I mean, big picture, they wanted to try out and test out and promote this new technology.
Right.
And they did.
And they did. They got a lot of data.
They got a lot of data, and it's not significantly better than, you know, except the fact that I'm now magnetic and my car keys stick to my face, you know, and I can pick up 5G.
Which you've been looking for.
That's what I wanted. And
yeah.
So I got that, you know.
But other than
I hear George Soros's voice muttering in my head 24/7. Is that normal?
That's perfectly normal.
But, you know, aside from all that, it has not proven to be what they sold it as. Because
no.
They did sell it as, including my own doctor told me, I was talking about being concerned about transmission in this ongoing pandemic and variants coming in and whatnot and how this was just going to be an endless cycle of sickness. And he's like, well, you've gotten fully vaccinated. You've done all you can.
Yes.
That's like,
everything you can do.
So...
Which is not true. Just to be clear.
It is absolutely not true.
It's not true that that's everything you can do.
Now, he should have said, this is an important step. We think this is an important step. But, you know, you can mask and you can continue to, you know, follow these, like, these safety protocols. So we'll get to that. But
we'll get to that. But yes. Because this is something I do think I need to say at this point.
Yeah.
In this context, that vaccination is actually your individual dead last line of defense.
It's when the virus has gotten into your body, into your bloodstream and cells, right?
And now you're trying to fight it off.
In other words, every other chance that you had
to avoid illness.
To avoid it, including just not being exposed to people who were shedding it, right?
Yes.
Has failed.
Everything else has failed.
It is your last line of defense.
Absolutely.
And they have promoted it as the first line of defense.
Which really inverts reality.
It inverts
the fundamental reality of disease control.
Yes. Yeah. And I said also, historically, and I did not emphasize this, but we can unpack it a little bit, is it has taken trial and error to get effective vaccines.
Yes.
Right, we know that the first rounds of polio vaccines were not effective, and one of them actually was very dangerous.
Yes.
And killed people.
The first round of the measles vaccine was a lot more dangerous than
yes.
the one that we use now.
And
yeah. its danger was the reason we use the one we use now.
Right.
It's slightly less effective as a vaccine,
right.
but considerably safer
yeah.
to administer population.
So, yeah, if you're really looking to hit the bullseye on both safety and effectiveness, it may take you several tries.
Yes.
You know,
and you'll probably overshoot in one direction each time.
Yeah, and historically it has. So
mm-hmm.
it's not, I don't want to say rational, but it's not credible to believe that, oh, this is our first try. This was rushed into production, what literally, quote, warp speed, unquote,
mm-hmm.
and that this is going to do it. We're going to solve this problem. It was Damn. Never... wise to put too much faith in that idea.
No, that was a bad call.
And I wrote, consider the way these were pushed as if we expected to achieve herd immunity through vaccination, which I always doubted, and as if it would reliably break the chain of transmission. Just get the shot and you will have done everything necessary. And my interlocutor, who's now actually actively rewriting history and gaslighting. And it's hard to judge. I don't want to say 100% that he's knowingly gaslighting, because people rewrite their own history.
Oh, right, right.
Right? If they're deep enough in the matrix, they are reprogrammable meat puppets where whatever comes out today overwrites whatever heard yesterday. You know, Oceania has always been at war with East Asia.
Right?
Come on, bro. And he's saying it wasn't really pushed as something to achieve herd immunity. The initial idea was to keep the person being vaccinated from getting the disease. That was one of the initial ideas.
That was mentioned as a tertiary value of the vaccine.
Tertiary.
Right. The primary goal, and I remember reading that they would publish online and in papers.
Right.
We've reached X percent that fully vaccinated. We've reached Y percent fully vaccinated.
Right.
Reached, and our goal is, I think they said 75% vaccination was the goal.
Yes. And when you, and they were promoting that particular goal because all the editorial writers and saying, this is when we get herd immunity.
This is when we get herd immunity. Right. And herd immunity is our goal because that will allow us to return to 2019.
So return to normal.
Return to normal. And one state out of 50 achieved it. Vermont got, I think, 76% of the population fully vaccinated in 2022.
Yeah. And then he continues, my interlocutor, they continue. And if a higher percentage had taken it, it would probably have slowed down or stopped variants.
Yeah.
That's a shrug, like, it's a counterfactual, it's really hard to dispute.
Brushing with a broad stroke on a specific part of the painting, right?
Yeah, right.
And pretending the rest of the canvas doesn't exist.
Right.
If we had deployed adequate vaccines for all 7 billion human beings simultaneously.
right.
Then that might be true.
Yeah, yeah. Because variants come from all over. And
exactly.
So and they're circulating from literally worldwide.
Even if we just deployed 330 million units of full vaccination, all Americans.
Right, because of our I'm going to say excessive amount of overseas air travel without any protection or mitigation or testing, it would be bringing variants.
We'd be bringing
novel variants.
So if we deployed vaccination for all Americans,
right?
Because I still don't think we have a vaccine for under twos or under ones.
Like I don't think
very
so.
Young children still.
I don't think they're
at this point,
authorized
in 2023.
Right.
There's still no vaccine for very young children.
Not that I can recall.
So
hearing.
If we had vaccinated every American possible to vaccinate.
Right.
Two and up. And B, continued NPIs to prevent breakthrough transmissions, especially to young children. And then C, eliminated air travel into and out of the country without some really stringent gates to get in and out.
Like, you know, I'm
testing and quarantine
I'm personally and out. Not opposed to, if you really need to travel to Wuhan or
whatever you
or
need to
wherever,
do.
You know, Mexico City or Italy or
Ireland, whatever.
Ireland or, you know, anywhere. Yeah, you're welcome to, but you're going to have to be isolated in a hotel room for 21 days.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you want to test and isolate.
If it's that important to you.
You're going to need to plan 21 days to get back in the country.
Yeah.
Or and into their country,
right?
Ostensibly for their.
And you're going to have to take three molecular tests. So we're going to be shoving things up your nose a lot.
Oh, a molecular test when you go in.
Yeah.
And two negatives in a row.
Yeah.
To get out.
Yeah.
So that implies at least three, but possibly more.
Right.
And with that kind of gatekeeping around the border, and that kind of vaccine effort inside the country, then what he's saying may have been true.
Yeah, okay. So what I said was, I disagree about much of that, but I don't think I can unpack it all tonight. I would hope we agree that it would have been better to promote effective NPIs from day one and continue to promote them and not, quote, 6 feet apart and, quote, use hand sanitizer.
And this is where your interlocutor
I should say I always have to...
Becomes untethered.
Sometimes my sentences have to get kind of compacted to fit into a tweet, so like have to go back and remove extra words, and they don't always have grammar.
Make as much sense as you'd hoped, or have the grammar you'd hoped.
And they said, well, I don't know if there is really an official comprehensive definition of NPIs, but informally, quote, 6 feet apart, unquote, and, quote, using hand sanitizer, unquote, would fit the definition. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
And right say, there.
NPI, it sounds like he doesn't know that NPI just means non-pharmaceutical interventions. And so, of course, these things would be officially non-pharmaceutical interventions. I guess he's... I don't even know what he means here, but I guess he's saying there's no official list. Okay.
If you say so.
But I think that anyone with even a very slight involvement or involvement with formal public health or instruction or even association with public health of any kind can give you some recommended NPIs.
Well, no, here's the thing, right? So an NPI isn't like an official thing that is static, right? An NPI, it just has meaning. It's an acronym. It means non-pharmaceutical intervention. Yeah. That's all it means.
You made a really good observation that basically...
Mosquito nets are an NPI.
Right, that you have to choose from the arsenal of NPIs according to the situation.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense to try to use mosquito netting to reduce the transmission of COVID because...
Even though mosquito netting is an NPI.
And it's very effective in some circumstances.
It's a hugely effective NPI, but not for COVID.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, but he went on in the same jeet. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew much of anything at the start of the pandemic. And there I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
We knew a lot. We knew a lot.
You didn't.
Perhaps, it sounds like a skill issue.
I wrote, NPI is just non-pharmaceutical intervention, so would include improving ventilation and air filtration and UV treatment. And they said, among many other things, including keeping 6 feet apart and using hand sanitizer. And what I wrote was, the 6 foot rule was an arbitrary recommendation that likely did more harm than good because workplaces translated this into, quote, put on a mask only if you have to be within 6 feet of other employees.
Yes.
Right. And I linked to an article, which is an MIT study about the 6 foot rule. And it's a good study and it's interesting.
Yep.
And if you delve into the origin of the 6 foot rule, what you find is that it was just this number that somebody pulled out of their ass as an arbitrary compromise between different studies.
Yes, right. A compromise between different studies about droplet transmission.
Yes.
How far does a sneeze travel, right?
Right,
how
droplets cough? And not the smaller particles that we call airborne transmission.
Right, well, yes. It's specifically aerosolized, right. Which is what...
Right.
More or less cigarette smoke is.
And no one, during these first few years of the pandemic, and even now, no one seems to want to admit that we know with great clarity and certainty that COVID is an airborne virus that lingers in the air, travels and moves like smoke, can linger in spaces, can travel a lot further than 6 feet,
yes.
Can travel through ventilation systems,
yes.
And that you can, you know, that even in well-ventilated places, you can still get it because it blow at you or past you or
passed
around
right
you.
Through you and you sucked it in.
Yes.
Through the air that you're breathing.
Yes.
And to be very clear, this is something we understood in March of 2020.
Yeah.
It was not actually ambiguous or unclear for anybody with the authority to take action that this was true.
Right. And he's saying, and this is all this phrasing is always a warning, a red flag. Some people's arbitrary translation isn't the fault of health authorities. And it's the some people that is...
Like, who are these people?
That, like, yeah, okay... Say who you mean. nobody I knew was saying, I don't need to wear a mask because I'm 6 feet away. It's obvious that you have a narrative you want to promote and will spin things to match it. Right?
Which was his assumption when he asked you why.
Yes. And I'm like, this was literally workplace guidance. My employer, and it wasn't just mine.
Yes.
At the time, literally put up signs that said, you know, beware of COVID, it's dangerous. Wash your hands and stay six feet apart. Yep. Right? That was it.
That was it.
It did not mention masks. Now, I have a side thread I'm going to try to get to and come back to about masks, but let's finish this particular thread. It's Twitter, or shitter, is awkward because if you, like, reply more than once or to more than one tweet in a thread rather than just sort of taking turns politely,
yeah,
you wind up creating a tree instead of a single thread, like a branching thing. And then to find all the responses, you have to go back and look at, like, where did it branch off? Right. But right. I said, this happened in workplaces. The initial guidance was hand washing and distancing. My boss would get within 6 feet, hold a blue surgical in front of his face, then remove it when he moved a foot or two away. You don't remember the 6 foot line markers placed on store floors?
Stickers are still on the floor someplace.
Many places you can still see where they were. Yeah, exactly. And there was another, I think that, let me see if I can
find it.
Oh, he did reply further.
Oh.
But I didn't see this until recently. But what I wrote next is, I'm not going to tolerate gaslighting from someone who is trying to push a reimagined narrative that the first 3 years of this pandemic as a story of successful leadership and successful disease control. I lived it and I have receipts. Muting you now. And his response, which I didn't see until I just looked at it now, was, now I'm gaslighting? Gee, I bet you eventually accuse anyone who disagrees with you of doing that.
Well, you had one more.
Yeah, then one more was actually a response to a previous one, which is, your boss was an idiot. There's no public solution for that.
Actually, there is, but
well, I agree, but if he had gotten different guidance from corporate, he might have behaved differently.
Yes.
So,
I mean, there is a public solution. You know, people who are ignorant work at restaurants, and when they do things that violate health policy, yeah, we have a way of fixing that.
Right, and you know, this is what OSHA is for, but they're also kind of asleep on the job.
Yeah,
you
know? County Public Health is asleep at the job and has been for 3 years.
And no, I do not accuse everyone who disagrees with me of gaslighting.
Well, actually, no, that's not true at all.
When they are trying to rewrite history.
Well, that never happened.
That never happened. That wasn't, you know.
No,
when they're trying to rewrite history or rewrite how things went down, then that is gaslighting.
Yes.
And, like, tell a different story about how the vaccines were promoted and what people said about them. There were so many articles and editorials about... the bee keeps coming back. I'm so sorry. We will get out of here shortly. But about...
what happened?
Sorry, I'm trying to get back. I'm going to pause. Okay, we're back. The yellow jacket keeps zooming in occasionally, getting Grace's face and everything. And
my hair, it's a mess. But we're here and we're good.
We're almost done. I found the place where one of the replies branched off. There were two replies to NPI. My point, NPI is just non-pharmaceutical interventions. Mm-hmm. And I made two responses to it, and my interlocutor replied to both replies, which branched off the conversation.
In two directions, right.
Right. So one of my replies to that was, again, public health workers knew a lot but were misled. An early example of that being Fauci's claims that people didn't need respirator-type masks.
Yes.
And they say there was a shortage of masks at the start, so it made sense to leave them to people who had direct contact with infected patients. And I will say two things about it. Yes, that's true. That's 100% true.
It makes sense to give it to the person.
But you need to not lie to people.
It's absolutely vital.
It's absolutely, it is. Yeah. It should be the first commandment of public health.
And actually, that's what I've, if you take nothing else away from this podcast, nothing else at all.
Yes.
That public health is a practice of building trust.
Absolutely.
Before it's anything else at all, before it's any kind of science, you have to engage in trust. Build trust and cultivate trust.
Now, this is not a great reason to give up on mRNA vaccines, but it is a reason. Mm-hmm. And that reason is that because they have become so toxic because of the level of mistrust built up,
engendered around it.
Around them by people overselling them.
Yes.
That I think you can probably get a lot better uptake in people by starting over with a completely different company, product.
Yes.
And saying, trying again, but this time trying to be more accurate about what claims you can make.
To do two things. Number one, be radically honest to engender trust and cultivate trust.
Yes.
And number two, to undersell it.
Undersell it and let people be pleasantly surprised.
Rather than oversell it and have people like, what the fuck, I had the vaccine, how am I sick?
Right, right. Yeah.
Which one should have ever had that misunderstanding.
It's happening so very much.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I don't need another booster. I got sick when I took the other one. What do I need it for?
Anyone who's going to openly defend this kind of thing, lying by officials, I'm done talking to that
person. There's no conversation to have.
But
there's no conversation to have on the subject.
Like, this made sense.
If you're
going
to lie. It made sense to lie.
And then the next piece, but public health workers didn't really know anything specific about COVID. And somewhere along the line, I can't find my comments now, somewhere along the line I wrote down just what we actually knew about coronaviruses, including SARS-1.
Including SARS-1.
And how dangerous the long-term effects were, and how few people who were studied in longitudinal follow-up ever recovered.
Ever fully recovered.
Yes.
And we had all that data in March of 2020.
And I wrote, it did not make sense to undermine trust in public health authorities by lying to the public about their safety, rather than explaining the situation accurately. And they said, were they actually lying or merely incorrect?
They were lying.
Fucking Dr. Fauci, you think he was incorrect about...
No, he was lying.
Yes. And has admitted as much.
Yes.
That he was, you know... I mean, that basically, you know, he would call it a little white lie or whatever the hell.
He admitted as much in an outdoor interview with a masked journalist sitting 20 feet away.
Yes, right.
Because he knows exactly what's up.
Right. There was no, quote, accurate, unquote, information available to anyone in the early days of the pandemic. At this point, my head exploded and Grace had to scrape my brains off the walls and stuff them back in my skull and apply some duct tape to hold it all together.
Yes.
No, she didn't.
But, not really.
So people keep referring to me as triggered. And I'm like, you know what? My heart rate's not up.
No.
I'm not, like... activated in that sense, like
being close where I can just read that.
I'm not having a fight or flight response, so I would hardly call that triggered. And at some point, I give up. And you heard the point at which I gave up.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
But the reply was, there was no accurate information to available to anyone in the early days of the pandemic, and I don't even know where to begin, so I just stopped.
Right,
you know?
There's nothing there.
That's the thing. I never know. I was talking about this earlier with you. The reason I do this in public isn't just to try to convince the one person I'm talking to.
Oh, you wanted the people to hear the conversation.
Because
fair.
It's not much of a platform, but occasionally some of my tweets do relatively big numbers, and people read them, and I get a lot of followers that way.
Mm-hmm.
And people then some people then want to engage in good faith dialogue, right?
Yes.
And actually see what I can learn. And one of the things I do to build trust is if I literally have no information on something or don't know or can't answer it, I say, I don't know.
I can't answer
and
that.
And if I can, I point them to, if I
someone
have time,
who knows more.
And like a source that I trust, I point them to like, there's a really good summary paper on long COVID that appeared in Nature recently. It's excellent.
Excellent. Read it.
I forwarded that to a lot of people.
And for my part, I do have something similar where I do it on Facebook. It doesn't make a lot of sense on Twitter.
It's
like Twitter's
you really
a different
need
platform.
You really need to be able to write at a little bit more length than these
tweets.
You know. And I know if I I guess if you pay, you get more text now.
Oh, it's unlimited now if you pay.
But I'm not giving Elon Musk a dime. And if Shitter reaches the point where I have to pay to use it, that'll be the day that I abandon it after, what, 17 years or something like that. It's been,
how old is Joshua? Maybe 15? Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, it's. I joined in 2008, 18.
Yeah,
20,
he's
15,
gonna be 15
years.
Yeah.
Right, so.
So.
Yeah. But it's really, that'll be like, I don't know, that's going to be weird when
that's
that
weird.
Happens. It's like the end of
an era.
A weird era. And
it feels
because
like
there
it's
is
imminent.
There is community there.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I know it's weird and it's broken and there are
and
a lot of trolls.
Very
and
ephemeral,
of,
you know?
Yeah, but there is community building going on with people I've never met. And it's you can't look at social media and say that it doesn't actually provide any community or social connection.
Oh, it really does. Especially for people who are housebound or
absolutely.
Or have access issues. It's very real
sure.
and actually vital community, right?
And it's almost, we've almost given up everything else.
Yes.
As far as families staying in touch with each other.
Yes.
Which is terrible, but there it is. It's,
there it is. The thing that I do that I think is similar to like taking an interlocutor in good faith.
Yeah.
Barring any indication otherwise. I do that, I think, a little bit less, but the thing that I do on Facebook is I don't block anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you can say anything you want. You can't swear, and you can't personally attack someone. I consider slurs to be personal attacks.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, using a slur would
right.
be a personal attack to any member of that group.
Right.
But so aside from, like, those two sort of hard and fast rules,
yeah.
you can have any opinion you want, and you can share it.
Yeah.
And I want people to, because every one of us lives in these bizarre silos.
Right.
And yeah. I think if there's one small place where you can experience the world outside of your silo, I'd like it to be my Facebook feed.
Sure.
And it has inherent intrinsic value to me not to remain siloed intellectually.
I do a lot of what you might call oppo research, like what are the MAGA people and
what are the blue checks
and whatnot. Are they promoting? How are they spinning this?
What's going on with them? What do they think is going
on
right now?
I'd like to understand their arguments. But if this is, when it gets to the point of actually, like, just counterfactually, you know, telling a counterfactual history and gaslighting me.
Well, and I think I would not have engaged that conversation on Facebook, but I would have let this interlocutor spool out their theory.
Yeah.
And really, and just to be very clear how far I take this, I don't block fascists on my Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, mind you, fascists generally leave my Facebook
page.
They
leave of their own accord.
Of their own accord. They take themselves out. They escort themselves out.
Yeah.
But I actually want them there so people can, like, not kid themselves about reality.
Yeah, yeah.
And people love to kid themselves about reality.
No, I just, I do get a lot of angry replies. But, like, if someone's just using a slur, like, I generally don't engage with that. Or
right.
I don't mute them. I don't block them in particular if they just drop, like, a single angry slur or, like, you know, you're a moron.
Or an idiot.
Or, you know, whatever they say. I get a lot of... I have that I'm neurodivergent in my profile, and people say, "So you're retarded?"
excuse me?
So I don't engage with that. But every once in a while, I will, I will do like a single go around with someone. Like someone says, delete your account. And I look at their account and mine is older. So I say, you first, butt plug. And they say, oh, I did get one funny response. The guy said, so you were the original butt plug. Like, I have to laugh at that.
Some of those things.
Anyway, I've got 40 seconds of recording time left.
Use it wisely.
So let's say thank you for listening to all that and goodbye.
And goodbye.
Have a great week.
Indeed.
Bye-bye, everyone.